Hi, everyone. This is Kelly Jones with Inside Columbus County Schools podcast, soon to be 89.9 FM. And I have the distinct honor of being with Ms. Tara Pate today, who is the 2012-2013, is that right? So,
yes.
Teacher of the Year?
Yes.
Teacher of the Year? Mm-hmm. And very excited, and we're going to get to know her very well after this interview today. Tara, thank you for taking the time to sit down with me. I'm looking forward to this. And we want to know, for those of us that don't know you, well, we want to know your background. Don't leave out any details, and how you came to be a teacher.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. This is a pleasure. I came to be a teacher. I didn't really have a path that took me straight to this point. Growing up, I was always told I would make a great teacher. We always had kids in the house and neighbors, and my mom said I always took on that job from the beginning, you know, sitting down with the kids and just treating them as my students. So I was told that all through childhood. And then when I got into high school, I listened to a lot of discouraging talk, unfortunately, from teachers that had retired or that were in it at the time. And then, you know, I heard the money's not good, the stress is too high, things like that. So I went to business school. I graduated from UNCW, and I had a degree in business management. I was out for 5 years. I tried the business world. Not for me at all. At one point, I was in a cubicle. And for people who enjoy that, that's great. But for me, I felt like I needed to be stimulated, you know, creatively. And then I just wanted a job that I could really reach out and feel like I was doing something positive. And so I all that talk that was in my head from years past, I said, they were right. That's just exactly what I want to do. So I went back to school. I went back to UNCW and got certified to teach. And taught in Robinson County for a little bit. I went to New Hanover County for a couple years. Then I decided to come back home because this is really where I love. And I came back to Hallsboro, Artesian. I've been here 8 years, and I thoroughly enjoy it. It's been great.
Where did you graduate high school?
Whiteville High School.
In Whiteville High School. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was it like that moment when you were, of course, listening for what name would be Teacher of the Year? And, you know, if it's like experiences I've had, you're saying, well, I wonder who it's going to be because you're pretty sure it's not going to be you, you know. And what was it like when you heard your name? Can you describe that experience?
Well, when I heard my name, I first thought, wait a minute, that sounded just like my name. And then when everyone turned and looked at me, I said, that was my name. I have to stand up and walk up there now. So it was such a thrill. It really was. And then, of course, after that, I thought, don't fall. I had heels on, you know, all of that. But it was surreal. It really was. It was an overwhelming honor to have. And then when I got to the front and I looked out at the other teachers from each school, I thought, wow, I mean, these were fantastic teachers. I've been in the county long enough, you know, I knew those teachers. Right. And I thought to be distinguished, you know, out of those, I that was just an amazing honor. It was fantastic.
So talking about teaching now, what is, in your opinion, the most important attribute that a teacher must possess, the non-negotiable, if you will?
Okay. I would definitely say the non-negotiable, you have to care about the children. You really have to do that. And I know that's almost the first thing that comes to your mind, but if the children are so smart, even I teach kindergarten, even at, you know, at a young age and throughout till they're seniors, they're so smart and they can pick up from an adult if they truly care about them. And I had a teacher early on, this is before I taught, when I was student teaching, and she told me, she said, if you win the students, if you win them and they know that you care, she said, you can get anything out of them. So I think that's it. You have to show them that you genuinely care. And that way, I mean, they want to please you, but it also helps them learn to, you know, have some intrinsic motivation too. So I definitely think that's the thing that a teacher has to possess.
What is the most rewarding aspect of your career teaching?
The most rewarding aspect. The thing that this is the special thing about what I do, every day we get rewarded. Every day the students, they say something or do something or they learn something. You see that light bulb go off in their head that's just immediate. And then I see the student, my previous students that are, you know, moving on and they're taking their EOGs. And just today I had a student, you know, who was so excited, came to my room to tell me that she had passed her EOGs. And that they remember me, you know, years down the road. I mean, that's really rewarding. It lets me know I had a huge impact on them. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I agree. When I was teaching, and of course now I've been out of it a while, I think some of the most happy moments I have now are when I run into a student, mm-hmm. you know, and I run into them in some of the strangest places, mm-hmm. you know, all across the state. But when you run into one of those students and they say, you know, I appreciate you and I thank you for taking the time. Mm-hmm. And I really like it when they say, you know, when you said this, you were right. You know, that's the best part.
Yeah, that is great.
Okay, so what is the most challenging part of your career?
I would say the most challenging part, every class is different. Every child is different. And so each year when you start a new school year, you have to learn the students and learn the ways to reach them and what will work. At the same time, teachers have mandates from the state, from the county, you know, all of this stuff. And you want to make sure you're accomplishing all of that while at the same time being true to the student. And just reaching each child, learning how each child, you know, how to get through to them. So that can be a challenge at times. And that's the beginning of the year, especially, is when you're learning, you know, you're learning those children. But once you get to that point where you really take the time to get to know the students and the families too, you have to reach out to the families and communicate with them. But I think when you do that, once you can accomplish that, then that's where learning takes place. That's where the rewards kick in after that.
And we want to remind you, we're speaking to the Columbus County Schools 2012-2013 Teacher of the Year from Halls-Bartesia Elementary School, Ms. Tara Pate. Can you tell us a little bit about the process of Teacher of the Year? Because it's not an easy process. I mean, it's pretty stringent. Can you tell us about the steps at the county level and now what you'll be doing as you go on to the next level?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, each school in the county selects a Teacher of the Year for that school. So it's a ballot, and we pretty much called a meeting after school. We all voted for someone, so each school selects someone. And there were 19 teachers in the county, because there's 19 schools. And the day of the Teacher of the Year banquet, there was an interview process. So I met with a panel of three educators from North Carolina, and they ask questions, and after the interview process, one teacher is chosen from the county. And then at this point, there's a regional selection. I'm not sure when that takes place. I know I have a paperwork due in September, so there will be, I'll be competing this time at the regional level with, I believe it's 11 counties in this region. And then at that point, each region will go to the state, and then the state Teacher of the Year will be selected.
So we think you're going to go far.
Well, thank you. I will certainly try.
So think about when you were in school as a student. Out of all of the teachers you had when you were coming up and you were forming your opinions about all things about the world, which teacher sticks out to you and why? Which one do you think back and say, you know, that person really had an impact on my life?
I will say there, I had some fine teachers. I did. And I attended Whiteville City Schools, you know, through my career. And then a bunch of the teachers in the county, you know, I knew of those teachers also. The one that sticks out the most, that's really difficult. I know I had a teacher in high school, Miss Smith, and she taught English, and that was a pivotal year for me because I was at the point, and my friends, you know, I wanted to hang out with my friends, but also I didn't want to leave that behind. But I remember she really turned me on to literature and poetry and all of that, and she just made me stop and see how important, you know, that my academic career was. And she really did make a big impact. That was a turning point for me, and it just made me really think about college and what I wanted to do in the future. And just the way she taught and the way she made learning fun. And also I ran into a couple of teachers I'd had this past weekend, and I just stopped to tell them how great they, you know, how much they affected me. Also Miss Pascal, she was fantastic. And Miss Hooks also. So those were just three that come to mind, but there were so many. There really are.
So how is being a teacher today different when you were a student?
The difference that I see, I remember when I was in school, teachers, I didn't feel like they were questioned. Their authority was not questioned like it can be at times now. I felt like parents respected the teachers and taught that to their kids. And now I feel like sometimes teachers have to struggle with that, with getting the respect. I've had a great experience. I've not actually myself had that experience teaching here, some places that I've been, I've seen that though, and it's like they question what the teacher says, and the students, if they're not, you know, being taught that at home, when you're in the classroom, it's hard to teach. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's hard to break through that barrier. Yeah. So I definitely see that as a big difference. And the family unit has changed so much since I was in school. I mean, that really has made the biggest difference in teaching.
And we see that throughout the country, really, mm-hmm. that the more single family and more, I guess you would say, non-conventional families, which are now more conventional, where you have grandparents, mm-hmm. you know, being primary caregivers. It does change the dynamic. It mm-hmm. really does. Okay, another tough question for you. So can you think about one experience you've had as a teacher here at Halls Bartesia that just truly inspired you? One moment that when you look back after your retirement, you'll say, you know, that was a great moment for me as a teacher.
One year I started a grandparent tutoring program in my classroom. And that's just one thing that really sticks out in my mind. And I had grandparents that year, and I knew they had free time during the day, and a couple of them had asked me, what can we do to help you out? And always, especially in the lower grades, you want someone to help you teach the students how to read. And so I invited the grandparents. I just called it the grandparent tutoring program, and invited them in. And then what I found, not only did I have grandparents, I had aunts and just other members of the family who wanted to come in, and just watching the relationships that were established with the children. And a couple of the students who had been shy, and they, I guess that one-on-one experience with someone older and someone who was just really gentle and kind and took time with them, I just saw a lot of nurturing going on, and I saw a lot of learning going on. So that, to me, was a big experience to see that. And that was early here at Hallsburg that I did that, and it made me really see the need for that connection with family, and not just the child's family, but, you know, all of the families, to make the classroom a community where we're all accountable to each other and we all pitch in to help each other. So that was a big experience for me.
And it seems to me that what kids need today are really positive, strong adult role mm-hmm. models mm-hmm. outside of just the home and school. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an excellent way that we can bring them into the school, make them part of that experience. So technology, we know, has increased. I mean, I think it's in every part of the teacher's day now, mm-hmm. with attendance being taken mm-hmm. online, with everything about your certification being tracked online. I mean, everything now is about technology. But talking about in the classroom and about instruction specifically, how do you see technology? How do you see it has changed the classroom over the course of the time you've been teaching?
Just from the time I've been teaching, I've seen huge changes. I know here at Hallsboro, we have so much technology, and it's wonderful. And the students, they come in knowing how to work a computer. I mean, my first few years teaching, I would have to teach them the basics. Now they know the terminology, what a mouse is and all of that. They know that. They know how to get online if they need to do that. So we have here, they rotate through the computers all day, and then we go to the computer lab 3 times a week, and then we have Promethean boards, which are white screens that basically are interactive, that the students can play games, we can go online. If we're learning about frogs, I can pull up a website about frogs, and we can learn everything we need to know. So technology really has become essential to instruction in the classroom, because students, they respond to that. They respond to it, and like you said, it's necessary. Everything we do is on the computer now, and that's going to happen with them, because testing is changing for them soon too. And so, I mean, it's definitely essential that they know how to use the computer and can use it as a resource to learn and research, you know, in their future.
And we're definitely dealing with digital natives
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, do we mention what grade you taught to the listeners?
I think I've mentioned it a couple times, but yeah, it's kindergarten, yeah.
So even in kindergarten, and I think maybe for listeners that aren't out in the schools a whole mm-hmm. lot, you would be amazed at what a kindergartner can do mm-hmm. on a computer.
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot of ways, I see kindergartners outperforming adults. They know mm-hmm. so much more because it has been a part of their daily lives, literally mm-hmm. from the day they were born.
Exactly.
So Halls Bartesia Elementary School, why is Halls Bartesia a great place to work?
For many reasons. One thing I love about this school is the family climate. I do feel in some ways that this school is similar to some of my experiences when I was in school, because it's a small community, really, and a lot of the parents know each other, and I think they hold the students accountable. And the teachers here, a lot of the teachers have been here a while, and they know each other, and they're just invested in each other personally. We like to see each other succeed. And the leadership here, Miss Spalding, does just a fantastic job. I feel like she treats us as professionals and trusts that we are doing what our best for the students to learn and to give them what they need. And I really like that here. And we really do try to push the envelope. We started a broadcast this year that I think is fantastic. And it's another way, really, technology is reaching the students. But we try to stay on the cutting edge here. So I think just the climate here is just caring, and we all work so hard together.
So we talked a little bit about parents earlier, and we know that parents are crucial to a child's success. What role do you think parents should play in the school, in the classroom, in a child's education, and where do we need to improve?
The role parents need to take. Well, the thing I feel about parents, they have to work hand in hand with the teacher and with the school. And I have the students I had this year, I have them for this school year, but then I have to let them go. I have to let them move on. But the parent, you know, they are actually the ones responsible each year for continuing that learning. And parents really need to make sure they get into the classroom and know the teacher and know what their child needs to know. And one thing I see in this community also is I have parents that will ask me, what does my child need to do over the summer to prepare for the next grade level? And that's important. Mm-hmm. School has changed so much. When they come into kindergarten now, they really need to know a lot of things already. They need to know their letters and numbers and how to write their name. It's a hand-in-hand, definitely a hand-in-hand process where we all have to work together. And parents really, they need to make sure they know exactly what's going on and communicate. Communication is key. It really is.
Great. So this is a tough question, but one I think that says a lot. And I think about this question a lot. And I think we all as educators think about this question because it's a very important one. If you could change one thing about education, any aspect of it, what would it be?
If I could change one thing about education, I get discouraged when I see college students that are grappling with deciding to go into education or not, and they hear negative talk about it, and they look at the salary, and there's a study that came out recently that talked about teacher morale is at an all-time low, and I hate to see that. I hate to sometimes hear my colleagues, and not saying my colleagues at Hallsboro, but, you know, just talk from teachers at times that is really discouraging and negative. I don't like to see that because I feel like potentially wonderful teachers may not be choosing this career. So I definitely think we need to work hard to present this career in a positive light. And you know, a lot of things may need to happen to for that. Salary may be a concern, and definitely I think just recruiting teachers. I think we need to recruit just the best teachers we can get. And
I think there are some misperceptions out there for those that are not involved in education, and not necessarily just here, but in general, you know, well, gosh, teachers get 2 months off. Isn't that great? And the reality is the teachers I know in Columbus County Schools work about as hard, if not harder, than when school is in session, because that's when you do your professional development. That's when you do your planning for the next year. And in reality, what would be more accurate is to say is that teachers work 2 months without pay.
I mean, yeah,
that would be
true.
A better way to look at it, because there's a lot of work that goes on in that 2 month time period. So I think that's one thing that I think you're right. We have to work on some perceptions and from the outside, because I think if you look at perceptions of education from educators, I think, you know, while we do have to do some work, at least it's a little more positive. And I do think you're right, the salary is an issue. But you know, most of the teachers I know are in it because they love it, like yourself.
And I remember being told, oh, you can't make a living doing that, and that's just simply not true. It's not true. And you know, so many rewards come from this. And yeah, I get discouraged with that. And I try to encourage, I think every profession definitely has its challenges. And no matter what profession you're in, but the rewards from this profession have to be greater than any other. Yeah. I can't imagine.
There aren't too many jobs you wake up every morning knowing that you're going to make a difference in somebody's mm-hmm. life mm-hmm. that day. I mean, there's just not. And I think that's what makes teaching great. A few final thoughts. We're going to get to know you a little better here.
Okay,
so I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
What was your favorite food when you were a child?
French fries. I didn't even have to think about that, but yeah, that okay. was it.
Don't want you to think too much about okay. this. We want the first response
okay.
here. What was your favorite, or what is your favorite indoor-outdoor activity when you're not teaching?
Indoor, okay. Indoor would definitely be reading. I love to relax with a book. Outdoor, I love to walk. Walking for me, if it's a pretty day, just to get out and walk is just soothing mentally and good physically also. So I love to do that.
Can you tell me what book you're reading now or the last one you've read?
Yes. I've just picked up a Nicholas Sparks book. I think it's called The Wedding. And I read it years ago and I found it on my bookshelf. And so I've started reading that. I'm only about 20 pages in. So it's been long enough where I can't quite remember what happened. So I'm looking for something easy for the summer.
You better read it sooner. It's going to be a movie.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
What chore do you absolutely hate doing?
What chore do I hate doing? I'm not crazy about cleaning bathrooms. I'm really not. That's not my favorite to do at all. So that would be the thing. I worked in restaurants when I was younger, though, and I remember the new person. I always had that job to begin with. So I think that's probably why.
What is your favorite time of year and why?
I love Easter. I love Easter probably because I think that's the most beautiful time of the year. I love after winter when everything has been dormant, and then in the spring the new growth, and then the trees bloom and the flowers. I love it, and I love warm weather too. I'm sort of cold natured, so knowing that warm weather's coming always makes me happy.
What sound do you love?
What sound do I love? A child laughing, genuinely laughing. I think that's just fantastic, and that's one thing. My students will make me crack up every single day, and you never know when they're going to laugh or what's going to make them laugh, but I do love that sound.
If you could witness any event, past, present, or even future, what would it be?
Past, present, or future?
Any event, that's historical hard. Event.
Let me think a second. Well, I can think way back to... I like Civil War stuff, so I don't know, probably maybe to see Abraham Lincoln give a speech. I think that would be amazing. I think of that, things like that. And then I'm also a movie buff, so I wouldn't mind like Gone with the Wind premiere. I wouldn't mind seeing that. In the 50s, my dad always says the 50s, it was the greatest decade, so I wouldn't mind checking that out too. So any of those things come to mind.
If you could meet anyone living or dead, who would you meet?
Living or dead? President Lincoln, I've always really liked him. I love his speeches. And of course, Jesus, I can't help but think of that. That would be great. And then the current president, I would love to sit down and talk with President Obama about education and, you know, with the election year coming, just seeing what his thoughts are, you know, face to face. I think that would be great.
Okay, and last question for you. What is the number one most played song on your iPod?
Let's see.
Or, phrase it another way, you're stranded on a desert island and for some reason you just have one song that you can be stranded with. What would that one song be?
It probably Frank Sinatra, Come Fly With Me. I love old American pop standards, so anything Frank Sinatra I probably would be happy with.
Okay, well, as a reward for being Teacher of the Year, we're going to play out with Frank Sinatra's Come Fly With Me. And this is Kelly Jones inside Columbus County Schools with Ms. Tara Pate, Teacher of the Year from Hallsboro Artesia Elementary School. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you very much, Tara.
Thank you for having me. This has been great. Thank you.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me. Let's fly away. Come fly with me. Let's float down to Peru. In in Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.